We find an interesting thing here in 2 Samuel 22. One of the Psalms is stuck in here. This psalm is almost the same as Psalm 18. It seems to me that David wanted this psalm to be the last one he sang on this earth. Well, really, he spoke it. You know, sometimes it's, I'm going to mention this later, but sometimes it's good to just read a song. Just read it. This is what he's doing. He's speaking this psalm. It also shows that he remembered these and repeated them, sang them often. So David's old and ready to die. He wants to sing or speak his last song and then make his last speech. In this chapter, we find his last song, and in the next chapter, we find his last speech. So today, we will consider both of these in two messages, David's last song and David's last speech. More than one man of God either had a last song or last words. Moses and Paul come to mind. David is doing what many people do when they know they don't have long. They review their lives. It's like when we review our day at the end of the day. You know, we kind of look back over our day and consider what things were accomplished. This psalm or song is like many other psalms. It is praising God for his protection and care during his whole life. You know, this is David's footprints in the sand, if you would, poem. Looking back over. Except that it includes a lot of bloodshed, fire, smoke, and vengeance, of course. Not quite as fluffy as Footprints in the Sand, but David's song may not be as acceptable in modern Christianity as Footprints in the Sand is, but it is true. It's even shocking. If we picked one, we might pick Psalm 23. He picked Psalm 18. Even though David is reviewing his life, his point is not his own greatness. Because when he looks back over his life, he doesn't see a great man, he sees a great God. His point is God's greatness throughout his life. I see four kind of sections here in David's song about God's greatness. Four ways that God was great in his life. The things he sings about. A song that he probably wrote early in his life and also sings at the end of his life. One last time, he spoke his song of praise. Maybe in a feeble whisper, I don't know. But he gave God the praise and fulfilled his purpose of glorifying God. First point, my Savior. Or deliverer. My deliverer. My Savior. Verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Shall I be saved from mine enemies? When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. You know, David was brave. But he admits to times of fear, right? In verse 5, he says, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. What is his praise here? What is he speaking when he speaks this song? When he reads, I guess, recites this song? He's praising God. Not that he was brave, but that God was his Savior. That any braveness, any courage that he has was because he knew who was standing behind him and in him. So God has got David's rock and fortress. Rock and fortress. Instead of praising the great fortresses that protected him in life, he praises God who was the actual fortress. So what makes us secure? What makes us feel secure? The shelter and fortresses that God gives, or God himself? God is our fortress. I mean, yes, it does give us security when we have stuff. But the real security comes from knowing the one who gives all that stuff. Knowing that he can take it away, but he's still there. He's still our fortress. He's still our deliverer. He's still our Savior. Come what may. He is his shield. You know, his mind doesn't go to the physical shield he held in battle, like it was what ultimately protected him. God was and is his shield. God himself is my shield. God's his shield. He is the horn of his salvation. That horn means strength. It's just a way they use to express strength. He's the strength of my salvation. He's my strength. It gave him confidence and comfort to remember that God has delivered him all his life. So he's reciting this psalm. This song. God delivered him all his life. And it gives him comfort and confidence to look back at that and say, you are the one. You are my portion. You're my fortress. You're my shield. You're my strength. Because he's facing the last enemy, death. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So, do you have songs of deliverance you want to sing? I mean, isn't that basically what we do with the Psalms? They're songs. We read them. We speak them. You know, David has several of these songs that we can share, that we can look to for comfort. Psalm 32, 5 through 7 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You're going to encircle me with songs of deliverance. And in that time, he's going to recite one of those songs of deliverance. They're a blessing to us too. We read these. Some of them we put the words and we sing them. Paul also spoke. Or if you want to see it as a song, as he looked back in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, 17 through 18 says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." It's really quite amazing in their most basic ways how similar David and Paul's songs are. They look back at all the times they were delivered as they look forward to facing the final enemy. You know, maybe Nero is the lion Paul talks about, but it's interesting that he and David were both delivered from the lion in their lives. They both mentioned the lion. The lion is also walking about seeing whom he can devour in our lives as well. And he'll deliver us from that lion. If you are his, this is and will be your song all your life as well. You know, even Psalm 23 is a song of deliverance. Why do we have the warning then about the lion that walks about, seeking whom he may devour? Well, the reason he warns us about the lion is because the lion can hurt us, but he can't really devour us. We can be bitten, we can be injured, but God will deliver us. He will always be there to deliver us. Now we need to be cautious. We need to watch out because he is an enemy. God delivered David in some amazing ways. He used some amazing ways to deliver David and even used Philistines at times. Or Philistines. Sometimes God delivered David from the Philistines, and sometimes God used the Philistines to deliver him. But God delivered him from every evil work, including the evil works of his own people that sought his life. God is amazing and powerful and sovereign over all of this. It's amazing to me that God can even use unbelievers to protect his people. We see this with David and the Philistines. You know, Egypt had favor towards the Israelites. He caused them to have favor towards the Israelites. Balaam pronounced blessings on Israel. Cyrus made a decree. So God is sovereign. He loves us if we belong to Christ. Have you ever noticed how God shows his power even over the evil forces? He shows his power to protect his people. Even death is used as a means to deliver us into his presence. Uses those enemies. All things work together for our good, right? He's sovereign over all those things. Our song of deliverance is about the Savior as well. Our song of deliverance is the gospel. The next thing we see is my avenger. You know, the next part is not disconnected from the previous verses. When David cried out to God to save him, God responded with fury. Have you ever seen, I'm sure you have, but you've seen a child call out to a parent when the child is being attacked? Imagine someone attacking one of your children. I think there's an illustration here that's helpful. You know, you think about, okay, I'm going to give a farm illustration here because I grew up on the farm, even though I didn't like it. But one of the things we would point out to our friends who came out there from the city is it's not the big scary bull over there that you need to be afraid of. You need to be afraid of the mama cow with the newborn baby calf. They will get mean, okay? My aunt had to run from one time. How do we respond when one of our children is in danger, is being attacked? Respond with fury. So I'll repeat verse 7 so you can see how God's fury is in response to someone attacking his child, David. So God is our avenger. Verse 7 says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." He said, so I was in distress, I cried out to him, and my cry did enter into his ears. And then what happened? "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick cloud to the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundation of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters." In other words, he's rescuing. "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." You know, we may not be that intimidating. Probably aren't. We're not intimidating, that intimidating to the devil. The devil may even mock us like Goliath mocked David. But behind every child of God is a heavenly Father listening for our cries. You know, and if we, by faith, we truly believe that, and we know how much he loves us, when we're being stoned like Stephen, we'll say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You ever experienced that? Where early on in my Christian life, I experienced that, where it was a new thing to me. It was kind of took me by surprise that my heart had changed, because I was being persecuted for my faith. And I experienced that fear for them. And I was like, I was actually fearful for them. Cried out to God for their souls. "And the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went out a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also In verse 17, he took, sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. You know, we can stop worrying about justice coming or trying to get justice ourselves or trying to get vengeance or trying to do all that because we have a God in heaven. We just leave it to him. He wants us to live joyful, happy lives and leave the fire and smoke to him. Leave the fire and smoke to him. Stay out of his business. Vengeance belongs to God. You know, it isn't really us they're persecuting anyway. It's because we are his. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. This life and these battles that we are in aren't about us. The reason David could exercise judgment and vengeance himself, of course he did, is because he was a king. You know, government is a tool to punish the evildoers. God does use means, and one of those is the government. Romans 13, 1 through 4. Whether or not David was using his power for personal vengeance is between God and David. But David did have rights that we don't. He had rights and authority that we don't have. Whatever the case, God is the one who is in charge of protecting and getting vengeance against those who would harm his children. So we just leave that to him. In fact, we pray for those that would despitefully use us, right? When we see this, and we see his power, and we see this very poetic, very dramatic representation of the anger God has towards those who would persecute his children, we pray for them. My rewarder. Verse 20. My rewarder. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eye, in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. So there is an element of rewards. Now, God gets all the glory because he's the one that empowers us. He's the one that indwells us. He's the one that gives us the faith. He's the one that does the work. So he receives the glory. If he's begun a good work in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And he's the one doing the work. But he empowers us so that we might have those rewards. Do I believe in rewards? Absolutely. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why does God deliver us? Look at verse 20. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Because he delighted in me. In Christ, I am highly favored. Because I am one with Christ, I have his righteousness, and all my sins have been atoned for. And God gives us the power of his Holy Spirit to live a life worthy of rewards. We just don't always exercise the faith that comes from a new heart. We don't always fight the flesh. But we will be victorious. And the reason God allows and gives obstacles in our lives is so that we can run the race and win the prize. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know, no track star says, why do there have to be hurdles out there? You know, because you're running to win. There has to be some things that you overcome. There has to be some exercising of your strength. And God has strengthened us through his word and in our heart and through his Holy Spirit to where we have been given a new heart. We have been given a zeal. It's whether or not we run. You know, you can be the fastest guy in the world, but if you never get out of the stands, who's going to know it? It's for his glory, because he's the one that enables us to do righteous works, to do good things. We don't look back at failures too much. We want to do it too much. David didn't mention his failures in his song because God forgives. And besides, when we keep looking back at all of our failures in our lives, we aren't looking at all his deliverances in our lives, because there's both. And won't it be a joy to cast our crowns at his feet? We know Christ deserves all rewards, because without him we are nothing. The question is whether or not we want to have something to cast at his feet. Do we want to use the talents he has given us to do good things? Lastly, my strength and power. Well, almost last. Second to last. 2 Samuel 22, verse 28. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp. Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. Well, that's quite a bit of strength. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. You see, it almost appears like previous to that, he's like boasting of everything, but then he says, yeah, but God is my strength and power. He deserves all glory for that. And he rewards me because he gave me that power. I exercised it. He rewards me for it. But he is the one that gets all glory. He gave me the strength and power. He is my strength and power. And he maketh my way perfect. Verse 34, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. He's my strength. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not rise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. He keeps coming back because it's you, because you strengthened me. You taught me. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued unto me. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. God is our strength. God is our strength. Things that aren't strengths that he has given to us or that we should use are the weapons of this world. There are weapons of this world. There is a strength that the world can give. We are to be salt and light. The world likes to use other things, not the inner strength that they've been given by God. They like to work through other things, money, malice, politics, things like that. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And the one who gave David the kingdom, verse 44, "Thou hast also delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore." Isn't this our song as well? Is it not the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom? But here's the great truth we should take from this. This is also a messianic psalm. This is about Jesus, because it points us to him. Because only through him do we receive anything. Only through him do we receive anything. Only through him do we have any victory. Only through him is David blessed. Only because of Christ can we sing this song. And he has given us a new song. You know, the song we die with is the song we will have forever. Is the song we sing the song of the world, "I did it my way"? Or is our song "All the Way My Savior Leads Me"? Which is it? Jesus died for sinners. That's love. You know, to sing a love song to Jesus, you must come to him. Repent. If you don't know him, repent. Bow before God. Trust in him. Live this life of this wonderful life with confidence, because he is your shield. Live this life of confidence that he's your protector. He's your deliverer. He's your savior. Don't look to yourself in your own strength. Repent. Trust in his work on the cross. Trust in his righteousness. Sing a new song. A song of praise that you can sing now, at the end, and forever. As I said before, I'm happy to meet with anyone who is concerned about their soul. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're just not sure. I'm happy to talk with you anytime. I look back at my life, and that's what I want to see. I want to see all the times he delivered me. I want to be rejoicing. I want to be praising him for being my strength and my song. Let's pray.